8. This is episode 11. We're on.
Okay.
And I'm talking to Hannah, who I might get into how we met because it's one of those weird coincidental stories, isn't it?
Yeah. Who got in contact with who? So my husband, Pete.
Yeah.
Went to school with you.
Yeah, went to high school with me. And then you guys moved to Canberra.
Yeah.
What year?
Oh, would have been 2011, beginning of.
2011.
And then Pete ended up working in the Department of Education and met Lauren.
Yeah, bumped into Lauren and was like, hello.
Yeah.
Just moved to Canberra. We don't know anyone. And
then we need friends.
Yeah. And she was like...
She's like, I might have some.
Yeah, she hooked us up, so
yeah.
to speak. Yeah. And so that was pretty cool because I hadn't seen Pete literally... since, I guess, 1996.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Mm. So that was really cool catching up with him again.
What was it, Australia Day?
Yeah.
Australia Day barbecue.
Yeah, you were pregnant, I think.
I was 5 months pregnant and Noelle was, what, 6 weeks
old? 6 weeks old, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you and Justine hit it off.
Yes, we did. And I pressured her into a friendship. I asked for her number and texted her and said, come out with me. I don't have any friends. Actually, I did have some friends at that point. But no, I thought that would be a nice...
Yeah, she gets that a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've said it in the past, but I'm always amazed. Like when we go to weddings
mm-hmm.
or parties where we don't know anyone,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the night, she's got like 5 phone numbers and everyone's like, oh, I bought you a present. We went to a wedding and someone bought her like these really expensive truffles or something like that.
Wow.
Truffle paste or truffle salt or something.
That's pretty impressive.
But it's constant. It's every time.
So I'm not the only one then.
I just sit in the corner hoping no one will talk to me. And anyway, we're going to talk about... your 6 movies.
Yeah.
And we'll start off, because you're a good English lass, aren't you?
Yeah.
Whereabouts are you from in England?
I'm from Croydon, which is south Greater London.
Yeah.
So near Brixton, Streatham, Croydon, yeah.
I've been to Brixton.
Yeah?
Can't remember. I might have seen Tenacious D in Brixton.
Oh, wow, okay. I like Brixton. It's a very interesting place.
It is.
It's always good for a laugh.
So we're going to look at an English film, Elizabeth.
Yep.
With an Australian lead.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is my absolute favourite film.
Really?
Yep.
Lovely.
If I could watch it any time, I think.
Yeah. If you just popped on the TV and
was
on.
Yeah, yeah. I'd sit down and watch it, definitely. Yeah, I've seen it loads of times. Yeah, and I just love it. I love all of it. I love the story. I'm a bit of a fan of Elizabeth I. She's a bit of a hero of mine, even though I'm a complete Republican.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, I totally am in the modern day, but I kind of feel I'm allowed to. It was a while ago, so
yeah,
I'm allowed to like her for that reason.
Yeah, 400-year grace period.
Yeah, exactly.
So why is she one of your like heroes?
I don't know. I just think she seems like a very strong woman. Look, she probably did some really awful things. So when I say positive role model, I'm not quite sure about that. But I just think she's quite cool. The story around her, the whole idea of being the Virgin Queen, although if this film is to be believed, she really wasn't. But
yeah.
I like the idea that she shunned the marriages that she was supposed to have to make and to do. And a time when Britain was, really poor and build it up into quite a wealthy country, again, probably by doing some not very nice things abroad, I'm not advocating that, but
yeah.
I think it's just quite an impressive realm, really. When you look back on reigns of kings or queens, I think it was quite a...
Yeah, and it came after, like, Henry VIII.
Yeah,
and
he killed her mother,
it's
quite a story. he chopped her mum's head off.
But she wasn't very nice to her sister, half-sister.
No, she wasn't, was she? And I found that out. Yeah. So, she got what she deserved, didn't she?
She got what she deserved.
She lost her head.
Yeah. Off with her head, exactly. But the movie itself is, like you said, whether it's historically accurate or not, it's not, obviously.
Mm.
But the whole idea of the Virgin Queen was, in the movie, they made it very convenient, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I've had lovers before, but now I'm the real queen. Yeah, no
now
more.
I'm a virgin.
Is that all you have to say to be a virgin?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not having sex again.
Yeah. I'm back to my original state. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I guess I like the kind of romantic, because I think it was quite... It's quite sad in a way, you know. She had this love and she couldn't really be with him. She wasn't really allowed to.
Why will you not see me? You must let me explain. Others will take advantage of this. You must not believe what they tell you. They are jealous and envious, because I am nothing to them and everything to you.
Do you love her?
No, I love you. I have always loved you. I was afraid of losing you because I was not free. For God's sake, you are still my Elizabeth.
I am not your Elizabeth. I am no man's Elizabeth. And if you think to rule her, you are mistaken. I will have one mistress here. And no master.
But it wasn't a very nice love story, because it turned out he wasn't very nice. And
no.
It's quite a weird... I don't really like true romantic films, if you know what I mean. I'm certainly not into rom-com or anything like that, so...
I think the rest of your movies will...
Yeah, would be testimony to that. I guess I love the Spymaster stuff as well. Yeah. Waltzing him. I love that character. I think it's brilliant. I just... kind of the idea that, you know, you'd have all these people looking after you and they'd be doing all these things to make sure that you didn't...
Yeah, behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Geoffrey Rush is pretty fantastic.
I think he's brilliant in that.
Yeah. Again, very convincing. It's very unusual, I guess, to have a very strong British period piece with two Australians as the lead.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Obviously, I think, like, Cate Blanchett is the best actor... in the world.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Anything. She can do anything.
She's brilliant. And I love her for the whole kind of... I love her for... Firstly, for the fact that she's a brilliant actor, but also she's beautiful, but in a quite a non-conventional kind of... Or unconventional way, you know? But yeah. Still, I just think... Yeah, I think she was perfect for the part. She really did it justice.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen... There's a Bob Dylan... movie. It's just terribly self-important. It's called I'm Not There, I think, and they mm-hmm. and they get six different people to play Bob Dylan, but she is far and away the best of the lot. And you just, the amount of times I'm watching that and I was like, oh, that's Cate Blanchett, I forgot. Oh, yeah. That's Cate Blanchett. It's unbelievable.
I haven't seen that.
She can just do anything. Yeah, I would avoid it.
Yeah.
Really. It's very pretentious.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't
You
sound
could probably
right.
find just the clip with Cate Blanchett in it on like YouTube or online.
That'd be worth watching.
But anyway, we're getting back to getting back to Elizabeth. So yeah, they gloss over a lot of the murky details and
yeah.
And but she was a very good a lot of stuff happened. It's Elizabethan England.
Yeah.
For a start.
Yeah. And the Armada and yeah, it's an intro. I think one of the reasons I've just had a flash in my mind of a picture, and it was a magazine that I used to get when I was a kid, like a kids historical magazine, and it came with a tape. And I remember it coming on telly and going, "I want that." And my mum and dad saying, "Well, all right, that looks quite educational, not just a load of crap, you know." Yeah. So we might buy that for you. And I remember getting that one, and it was about the Armada, and I remember thinking, wow, that's really amazing, you know. Basically, it was totally luck. But,
yeah. Well, tell me more.
Well, I know, because I'd probably be really wrong in my history, but Spain was coming to attack, you know, and they had this huge fleet, enormous fleet that was coming, and
yeah.
Although, actually, I'm wrong, isn't it? Because the Armada's in number two, the second film.
Oh, that's all right. It's okay.
But her, still her reign. But, yeah, so I think it was King Philip was coming over. Huge Armada of boats, biggest, best boats in the world, blah, blah, blah. We didn't have very many boats. And I think that they went out into the channel and the wind changed. And they sent fire ships into the middle of it. They were pretty lucky, really. But still, it's quite a cool... You know, they defended and and won and...
So that was Elizabeth the First,
yes.
And you may mention of her before, but Elizabeth the Second,
no,
not much of a fan.
Well, what's she done?
Didn't you go back for the Jubilee? No. Wasn't that why you went back to England?
Was I there for the Jubilee?
Didn't you go? It's the start of this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. I just left
You got the end of it, just the end of the Jubilee year.
No, look, I wouldn't take her out to the woods and shoot her. I'm not that hardcore.
Just the fact that you would say that was bad enough.
No, but I'm thinking Russian Revolution style. I'm not that extreme.
Yeah.
But I don't agree with the royal family. I think
not interested in royal babies.
No, I'm not. Weddings. And thank God I'm not at home. My mum is just tearing her hair out at home. You know, everything is about the about the baby. Yeah, it's a load of rubbish.
And she's not a fan either.
No, no, staunch Republican household.
Yeah, it's one of those jobs I've always wanted, was to be a reporter and get sent, like, oh, there's 2 weeks before the baby's due, go and stand out on the doorstep for 2 weeks and make great, stuff up.
Yeah, just stand there.
So-and-so, I heard so-and-so say. That, like,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Talk about the brickwork. Yeah. Well, they had footage at home of some, oh, God, it was so pathetic, some bloke in a, you know, Union Jack bowler hat on. He'd been sleeping rough on the pavement.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, before I go to bed at night, just look up at the window and think, oh, when is this miracle going to come? And you think, there's all those people unemployed. There's all those benefits being cut. Yeah. There's all those awful things going on in Britain. Like, people have a really hard time anyway, let alone now.
Wave your flag.
Yeah.
You're not doing your duty, young lady.
It just makes me feel so happy to think that somebody else had a baby, you know. There was a wicked, have you heard, you know, Private Eye?
Yeah.
Their headline was, Woman has son. I was like, yeah, that's it. That's great, you know.
Woman has a baby.
Yeah, so I guess for me, it is a bit of a weird choice, actually, Elizabeth I. But, yeah, I do. I quite think she's...
Again, like this 400 years.
Yeah. It's a bit removed, isn't it?
It is
from present
removed.
Day.
Yeah.
Wills and Kate and Harry with his bum out in Las Vegas and all that kind of stuff.
How dare he.
Yeah.
All right, on Harry's bum.
Uh-huh.
Let's... go to the second one, which is completes the trilogy. This is the 11th episode, and we've already done Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
And the last episode we did the Adventure of the Last Crusade, and now we're going to do the Temple of Doom and Indiana Jones.
Yeah, my favourite.
And as Justine's already said, that's her favourite too.
Hmm.
It's a great... I looked for a clip of it today and realised that it's a movie that I've watched hundreds of times as a child.
Yeah.
Because I knew every line of dialogue.
It's a classic. It's a family classic for me. It just brings back so many memories of... I loved all of them. Actually, I didn't like the last one. I didn't like that.
You mean the fourth one?
Yeah.
I avoided it, yeah.
Didn't like that at all. Mm-hmm. But I really like all the films. But Temple of Doom, yeah, I just love it. It's... In Britain, it's a little bit... I remember watching it as a kid with my family, and like I said, you know, my mum and dad, like, my mum loved Harrison Ford, my dad liked the jokes, you know, the kids love the action, whatever.
Yeah.
But in Britain, you know, our Christmases are cold, so the focus of what you do at Christmas is a little different to here, so it's eating, predominantly, drinking, and watching TV, because it's cold. So every year, everyone gets excited about what's going to be on telly. And Indiana Jones is one of those films that is always on at Christmas. And you can always be guaranteed to see, you know, Indiana Jones, one of them at least. So it kind of, it's something I've watched over the years again and again and again. And I had a cassette of the whole film. I don't know where I got it from, actually.
Like an audio cassette?
Yeah.
Of the film?
Of the whole film. Like, just like you were watching the, you know, closed
like
eyes.
Like, was it bought in a shop?
Yeah, it must have been, I think. But I have no idea how we got it.
I remember having this weird black and white, like, miniature TV which had a tape deck attached to it.
Uh-huh.
And you could attach it to the actual video.
Oh, okay.
And then you could record off that. Huh. But I've never heard of, like, actually being able to buy just the film on a cassette.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was, like, a legit copy. I don't think it was... No, I kind of remember a tape with print on it and stuff.
Wow.
But I just remember we used to... My parents were both teachers, so we used to go... We had this Volkswagen Combi, and we used to go away for 6 weeks every year and drive around Europe. And yeah. I remember so many times sitting in the back of this van, just being so hot somewhere else in Europe and listening to that and just knowing it word for word.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Amazing.
And, you know, even things like, you know, when they're getting towards the Pankot Palace and those big bats go over the top,
oh, yeah.
Even the noise of the bats, and you could imagine all these
yeah,
bats
going
over
see
the
it,
top.
Yeah, I can see it, yeah. I looked up the scene where they're having the dinner with all the snakes and all that
yeah.
stuff, but as soon as it came on, I was like, oh, my God. I haven't seen that one for a long time, but that's a big part of my childhood, too.
Yeah.
If memory serves me correctly, this area, this province, was the center of activity for the Thuggee.
Ah, sneak surprise.
What's the surprise?
Well, I suppose stories of the Thuggee die hard.
Not worried, Mr. Prime Minister, just interested. But you're not eating?
I had bugs for lunch. Give me your hat.
Why?
Because I'm going to puke in it. Excuse me, sir. Do you have anything simple, like soup?
Chilled a monkey brain.
I just wanted to just point out how jealous I am too of the fact that you every summer drove around Europe for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think I don't think we realised. Now I realise how lucky I was. It was great.
I guess you can drive around Australia for 6 weeks, but there just seems something different about it to go.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll drive to a different country today.
Yes.
But yeah, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom has, well, now if you watch it,
mm-hmm.
has it aged well? Do you think it's? Have you seen it recently?
I think I did see it. I could have even possibly seen it last Christmas while
yeah.
I was at home. Age well? Yeah, I think. I mean, some of it looks a bit crappy.
Like,
you know,
it,
like when they're falling out of the sky on the dinghy or whatever.
Yeah,
that,
they land in the inflatable raft
yeah.
on the side of a mountain. You never think about those.
No,
things.
No.
But does Short Round annoy you?
No.
No, he never
no.
annoyed you? I was just wondering that. I saw it today and I thought, I'm sure my dad made a few comments about how annoying that kid was.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was like, no, he's cool.
He's cool, yeah, Short Round.
Yeah.
Oh, and the funny scene with the animals, you know, like the pulling the python over her shoulder.
Yeah,
yeah, you know, the typical sexist jokes, which I can overlook in that film, you know.
Yeah.
But what... I tell you what I really like about it as well is the lines that have stuck with me.
Yeah.
Like, you know... Nice try, Lausche. Like, I still say that, or my dad still says that.
That's funny, because Jazz and I always say, come to Bangkok, come. Like, that's a line that we use a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, we're not going to Canberra, dog. You know? And you can change it. It works for a lot of different
yeah.
scenes. So, yeah, I think I like the kind of bits that you take out of it that have stuck with me. And
but I like movies and I've read a lot of stuff on it, but this one in particular, Spielberg himself thinks is way too dark. And it is when you think about it, because it's a PG movie.
Yeah.
And a dude rips the Molaram or whatever, rips a guy's heart out while it's still beating and drops him into a pit of fire.
I didn't watch that for many years.
Yeah, I couldn't
see that bit.
No.
And also it was true, yeah. The Thuggy Cult was true.
Yeah.
So they are actually talking about something. I mean, I don't know. But in essence, what they're talking about actually happened. And
yeah, but in a PG movie.
Yeah, exactly.
The dude gets dropped into a pit of fire. And as he drops in the fire, the heart and the guy's hand catches on fire. Yeah. I'm sure I spent a lot of my childhood like watching it.
Yeah, it was scary. It was scary.
It's got that. It's got, all that black magic where he gets possessed.
The voodoo doll. Remember the big, the guards, the enormous guards that are whipping kids?
Yeah, whipping kids, the slavery.
Poor kids.
Happy days.
Yeah. There were a few questions asked, I think, to my parents. Why are those kids down in a mine?
I mean, it's dark, but Raiders of the Lost Ark had faces melting and heads exploding and all that.
Yeah, and Nazis, which were quite scary, yeah.
Yeah, but I do remember the whole black magic heart ripping.
Yeah, it was scary.
Yeah.
It was. But it didn't put me off.
But it's
I persevered.
It's got, like, they say that's a roller coaster of a movie, but this one has a roller coaster in it.
Water.
I know.
Water. That's another line. Oh, I'm so thirsty.
They go on the mine carts. Like, how good are mine carts? We need to make all these crazy tracks that just go up and down and around and jump and...
I'm sure they've got one of those at Disney, haven't they? What is it, the gold mine or something like that? That kind of a thing.
Thunder Mountain or something like that is pretty much that.
Yeah, it was just great, wasn't it? Like, I don't like spiders. I hate spiders. I'm not too bad with insects in general, but you know that bit where she's in the...
She's going to put her hand through...
Yeah, that freaked me out quite. Like, and I, even at that age, questioned whether I would be able to do that to save... somebody,
you
know, had to worry about.
Yeah. But she, for getting older, that Willy in that movie is really annoying.
Yeah, she's pretty obnoxious.
And that's the point. I think I've said it on another podcast, but the fact that in the first one, Marion was so kick-ass.
Mm. Yeah, she was cool, wasn't she?
And then, in the second one, he's just this woman going, oh my God, I broke a nail. And
yeah.
Just whining and...
It doesn't have many... It's not even like... I know they get on at the end, but there's not even like there's a real... These redeeming features that come out.
No, you're
she
right.
She just stays annoying,
She screams a lot of the movie.
She's crap with animals. And she wants the jewels and she's just going to marry some, Maharaja for... it's just... She's not cool.
The other great line that comes out of all the time is Fortune and Glory.
Kids. Fortune and Glory.
Fortune and Glory. Great. But it's got Dan Aykroyd in it, like a weird cameo. He puts him on the plane. Ah, Mr. Jones, come this way. He's got a weird accent. He puts him on the plane and he says, Bon voyage, Mr. Jones. And you know something's evil. But that's Dan Aykroyd.
Wow.
Why he was in that movie for a scene, I don't know.
That's weird.
One of the weird...
I'll have to look for that next time
I think that, watching Ghostbusters a lot and then anytime, there's Dan Aykroyd.
Ghostbusters, that's a film.
That's a film. We don't want to get stuck on Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
But I do know Spielberg, himself was a bit like... Yeah. So looking back, I think he thinks it's a bit dark. And not as great as the other two, but there are a lot of people who would disagree.
Yeah,
it has a lot of those. Oh, and alligators eating people is always a winner. On that bridge.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah, then he cuts it.
Yeah, that's cool.
At least it can be done though. Yeah, if you're on a bridge,
that situation,
that all you have to do is
tie a rope around your neck or your arm, and
then climb up.
Hold on, and
100 feet.
Yeah. The rocks all. You'll bounce off there.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, it's a pretty great movie, though, with the water. They release the water out.
Yeah, it's got some good action moments in that film.
Well, all of them do. They don't really stop for breath. There's no exposition scenes where they go over lots of details.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what's going on.
Yeah. And then at the end, the cracking of the whip round her waist.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what every girl wants anyway, isn't it?
A bit of the whip around the waist. Come over here.
Yeah, come here, you know. So, yeah, it's...
We nearly died a couple of times, but come here.
Come here,
you.
All right.
If I must. Okay, well, we'll change the tone.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie's all about tone, which is The Woman in Black, which is a good choice.
Yeah.
This is from last year, right? Because when I looked it up, there was another movie from 1980-something.
Yeah, is it a remake?
I don't know if it's a remake. But it's got good old Harry in it, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah, this film was actually a bit of a surprise to me because I like thrillers, but yeah. I've been saying for years, there's no good thrillers around, you know? I don't want, like, the blood. I don't want necessarily serial killers.
Yeah.
I want something that's a bit jumpy, but isn't going to scare the shit out of me, you know? Yeah. And it just wasn't... every time I kind of tried to find a good thriller, I was always let down. And I was saying to people, I'm like, I want to watch a thriller, I'm going to go and look something... I'm going to go and find something on the internet and download it.
Yeah. Legally, of course.
Yeah, legally. Of course. My love of movies. And I can't remember what it was, but I'd seen Daniel Radcliffe... I just remembered I'd seen him interviewed on Jonathan Ross.
Yeah.
And they're talking about a film. It was supposed to be really scary. So I kind of worked back from there, found it, downloaded it legally, and then we watched it. And I was pretty scared.
Yeah.
I was actually getting to the point where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sit in this room and watch this because I'm quite scared. But that's ridiculous, so obviously I'm not going to get up. And I was sitting next to Pete. The funny thing was I was sitting next to Pete and he jumped a few times quite a lot more than I did, which I thought was quite funny. So I liked it. I liked it because it scared me, but not witless. I liked it because actually I thought it was quite well done.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't crap and jumpy.
No.
And I liked it as well because although I'm not a massive fan of Harry Potter, I thought it was a really good film for him, and I thought he was really good, you know?
It is weird. I'm the same. It's kind of like, I'm glad he can show that he can do something different.
Yeah. I didn't want to just see Harry Potter
in
a scary film.
I don't think you're going to see Harry Potter ever again.
No.
He seems like he's got it together where he's like, I can choose.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just do a shitty teen movie. So Harry Potter fans can come and watch me. But I do know a lot of Harry Potter fans went and saw The Woman in Black, like a lot of students that I teach.
Yeah.
But usually ones that have a bit more nuance to them and were like, there's a new, Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
But I think the first scene in this movie is one of the freakiest.
With the kids in the attic. Yeah.
It's one of the freakiest opening scenes to a movie I've ever seen.
It's really tense.
Yeah, and harrowing and horrible.
Yeah, and horrible.
Yeah. And you're like, that's good.
Yeah.
I think they might have had the best bit in the very first 2 minutes, though.
Yeah, I think you could be right there.
But it is, like I said, it's a very good mood movie. They do keep the weirdness.
It just doesn't relent. It's relentless in its jumps and its tension and its, oh my God, what's around the corner kind of thing. And I respect a film that does that, you know. It's not just three big jumps in the film.
Yeah.
Not that I need to be kind of shocked all the time, but it was good for that. I found it, it kept me on the edge of my seat, and it scared me. Like, one, I didn't like the after effect because it's ridiculous, but having kids, it really makes you think about your kids. And then I remember waking one up one night and thinking, oh my God, what if I saw the Woman in Black and then my kids? And you're like, that is just lunacy. But I'll close my eyes just in case. You know, it was.
What if you close your eyes and she comes closer to you? That's right.
And then you wake up. Yeah.
Never open your eyes again.
So I thought it was good. I liked the fact that it was pretty British. I liked the kind of the countryside.
So the story is Daniel Radcliffe gets sent up to an estate.
Yeah. I kind of remember there's something about it's his last chance or something like that. Because he lost his wife and kid, hadn't he? And there was something about I don't know if he hadn't been working one or something, but it was like his last chance and he had to go and view the documents in this old estate.
Dude, it's an easy job. Go up north. Yeah. It's an easy job.
Up north,
In and out in a couple of hours.
And then he starts finding out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then he sees this woman and then...
The town's all in on what's happening. Well, they know a lot more and... Some people do and some people don't. And there's a history of it.
Mm. And he's kind of being tested by a person who lost his son, isn't he? To find out if it really is true.
That's right, yeah.
And then they kind of work it out, don't they? And they find her in the house and find out about her story. And I quite like the way as well that he tries to sort it out.
Yeah.
You know, and... What is it? The coach brings out the coach out of the mud, but it doesn't work.
No.
And I quite liked that because I remember thinking, now that's, you've just lost me there because you're going to make it all right. And surely it's not that easy, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
And I liked that it didn't end.
Solve something and go, I know, we just have to do that.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. And
we don't need to tell the ghost that we love her and she'll be happy.
Yeah.
Reunite her with children. And yeah, exactly. Yeah. She'll be fine. But I looked up clips of it today, and one of them scared the shit out of me.
Mm.
I couldn't even remember it. I was like, oh, okay, and it says, like, scary scene, and I was like, huh! Yeah. Oh, my God!
Yeah.
And it's the hard thing is finding a clip to put on, because I usually put a clip, I'll put a clip at the end of it, and it's hard, because it's all just music and mood. Right. There's not, when you think about it, there wasn't much talking
and
conversation and...
No, there wasn't, actually.
Out windows and
that bit where she looks out the window behind him,
yeah
it's scary. I'm just thinking about, would I watch it again? And I would definitely would, but I'd think about it.
It's one of those movies like you're watching it and then if the lights all go out, yeah, like, God, this is the
screw. She's here.
So like you said before, these are the type of movies you like,
huh? I do occasionally, not very often, and I occasionally think, oh, I want to watch a thriller. I want a good thriller.
But it's kind of like a Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not a horror movie.
No, I don't like horror.
But it's the mood, the whole mood of the thing is just makes you so unsettled all the way through it.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? And all this is freaky. And it's hard to do, isn't it, the control of mood? Because a lot of movies, they try and make it. Now, in the last act, we'll make lots of scary things happen, and it sort of loses everything.
I think so, or I think you get these couple of big shocks in the film, but actually the rest of it is quite bland.
Yeah.
And not necessarily very well acted.
That's the usual, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they can be hyped up as... I mean, what was it? Have you seen... Is it Gothica?
I haven't seen that, no. Oh,
my God, that is awful. With I don't like Halle Berry anyway, but... Someone said, this is fantastic, it's a real thriller. And I won't go on about it because it was too bad. But I watched it, I was like, it's just rubbish. I mean, there was just... I think there was something that was half shocking and the rest of it was just really bland, badly acted.
Yeah, I think they're cheap to make them, invest in the special effects or the idea of it. And, like, Justine, I was watching Thriller as well. And a lot of them, yeah, the scripts are terrible.
Yeah.
And the acting's terrible. And then, oh, that was scary and...
And then that's it.
The premise is interesting, and
whereas that it didn't do that. I thought it was well acted. I liked the tension and the way it kind of kept you kind of guessing and, oh my God, what's going to happen? And I liked the story. I liked the whole deal. Yeah, overall, it impressed me.
Yeah, it's a moody little film, isn't it? Okay, well let's, again, we'll change tack very much so and look at Django Unchained.
Yeah.
Django. Now, that was a movie.
Oh, my God, that's a movie. Yeah, Pete was just pumped for months before it came out. He kept going on about it being a Western, and as soon as I heard that, I just went, turned straight off. I was like, oh. My dad used to watch heaps of Westerns. And although I probably would quite like them now, my memories of that were just... Oh, I don't
like John Wayne was. Westerns?
Yeah, or? Just... Yeah, Clint.
Clint Eastwood.
You know, The Dirty Dozen, that kind of stuff. Which, like I say, maybe now I quite like. But the clips that I saw as a kid is... No, that's not interesting. So as soon as he said it's a Western, I was like, oh, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
Even though I really like Tarantino... So, but Pete was going on about, we've got to go and see it. Went and saw it, and I really liked it. It's one of the best films I've seen in years. I thought it was great. I thought, what's his name? Jamie Foxx was fantastic.
Yeah, he was good.
And I was so happy, well, not so happy, but I was so shocked to hear that they wanted Will Smith to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't, and I was so pleased he wasn't in it. Because I don't actually object to Will Smith, but... I wouldn't have wanted to see him in that character.
Yeah, it would have been interesting. Obviously a different movie as well, but I don't know. I reckon he could have played it.
Yeah.
He doesn't... I don't know. He would, again, would have been totally different, but I don't think he would have been the Will Smith man.
No, but I just don't know if I could get that out of my head about him, you know?
Yeah.
I know he's done other stuff, but I've never...
I guess so. You are always watching Will Smith.
Yeah, I've never found him in anything that I've found truly... truly well acted, if you know what I mean.
Yeah
I mean, it's possible he could have done it, but Jamie Foxx I thought was great. I thought he was really good.
Christoph Waltz is amazing. He just, every time he's on screen, you're like, yay.
That's
how I always feel, like, oh, more of him. He's hilarious, and his great delivery was amazing.
And he was actually really funny, you know? Like, he did all the bits. He was kick-ass with his action, but he was also funny as well, that kind of quirky European, you know. Yeah. You know, they're all like that.
The dentist and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and a bounty hunter.
And a bounty hunter.
Serial killer, you know.
Yeah, quite the serial killer, wasn't he? He got up to a lot of business, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Certainly knew how to make money.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to say about Django Unchained. It was... I love Leonardo in it. Yeah. I love Leonardo anyway. I think he's fantastic. But to see him in a baddie role and, oh my God, he was really scary and horrible and really... And still strangely attractive, which is quite...
Really? Even with those teeth?
Well, not with the teeth per se, but still attractive, which I've talked to friends about. It's quite... Is that wrong, you know?
I reckon so, yeah.
There's like a little bit that's wrong.
The slave driving.
But not that. No. I obviously don't find that attractive.
From that.
But he's still just looking, still, you know. You think, yeah, that's a bit dodgy. But
it's Leo. It's not the character. You know?
Yeah, it's Leo. I didn't actually want Monsieur Candy in Candyland. Oh, it was just horrific, wasn't it?
That scene went on and on with the Mandingo fighting.
Oh, I couldn't watch that. Yeah, that's actually the one... That's the one scene in a film that I was ready to get up. I didn't know if I could watch. I couldn't watch it because I had my hands over my face, but I didn't know if I could listen to it as well.
I was going to say that.
So moved by it. It was horrible. And Tarantino always does this. I always find there's a scene or two in his films.
Yeah.
You know, we all know them. Pulp Fiction, the rapist scene, you know. Kill Bill Buck in the hospital, and I always come away from the next few days feeling a little bit harrowed and a bit kind of like, oh, I don't
you know, Reservoir Dogs, where he cut the ear off.
Yeah,
the torture scene was like,
yeah, and it leaves you feeling a bit horrible for the next few days. But with Django, it's like, well, you know what, that probably happens.
Mm.
And you know what, a lot worse happened to a lot of people, and it... So I found it really difficult in some ways, because it's about slavery, and that's not funny, and, you know?
Of course it is. You can laugh at anything.
Yeah, it's really funny, but it kind of, it really, I'd say it quite affected me, actually.
Yeah.
And the scene with the dogs, And I've watched Django since, and I didn't watch those two because I just thought, I've seen it once, I don't need to see it again.
Yeah, I'm a bit the same. I don't know if I could sit through that. Yeah,
I can handle violence. I'm okay with violence, but that was just really...
He does
really...
amp up that sound, though, too, does he? Makes it just the thumping and...
It was horrible. It was really horrible, but, you know, good. It was a really good film, and if it makes you think about how bad slavery was, well, that's a good thing, you know? Like,
it also has, like... Like you said before about how the dentist, how funny he is.
Mm.
But it also has the ridiculous scene with the Klan, the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
And they can't put their heads in the can't see out of the hoods and who made them. Yeah. And make,
you're offending my wife.
Yeah, how about we take them off? No, that's not going to work. Well, aren't we meant to be anonymous? Well, I know who you are. We know it's you. And, it's... Like, that was like, this is funny, but is this in a different movie? I mean, he does that in every movie. There's bits from different styles in all his movies, and he mashes them all together.
Yeah.
But there's a few times where you're like...
Well, it's funny, because when we came out, the two friends that we were with were like, yeah, it's good. But then we got talking, they were like, it's just a bit too long. There was so much. And Pete was like, yeah, there was so much you could have cut out. Like, I'm not very good with long films. It has to be really good, otherwise I do lose my attention. It loses my attention. But I didn't find that with that film.
Oh,
and
okay.
It actually had to be pointed out to me that actually, like, the Klan scene really was 15 minutes of nothing that had anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought about it, and I was like, yeah, actually, quite a lot of the film you could have taken out, and there would have been no... difference to the storyline kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think that's another reason why I liked it, is because it did keep my attention and really kept me into it for the whole film.
Yeah, I thought it was too long too. I didn't enjoy the like, there's two or three endings in it basically. Mm. Oh, that could have ended there and then went back.
Yeah.
Also, but then you wouldn't have, like, to get to hear Tarantino's astounding Australian accent.
Oh, that was great, wasn't it?
I thought, legitimately, that he was South African. I just thought, he's playing South African.
Yeah.
Because that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, it was awful.
Well, it sounded like, he sounds like he's doing a South African accent. And then John Jarrett, the Australian guy, he starts talking and you're like, he doesn't actually talk like that. Like, Tarantino's made him say, can you actually sound a bit...
South African?
Sound a little different to Australian for me, a bit more. Can you sound more Australian? That's probably his direction.
Yeah.
Okay. But it just made me go, hey, Quentin, at least listen to the guy next to you who's talking with an Australian accent, modified slightly, and then try and copy that.
Yeah.
But for that first scene where he's, I just thought, right, South African, fine. It's a bad South African accent.
And yeah.
Holy crap, that's an Australian accent. That's
Was awful, wasn't it? And I don't know if it was worth putting it in. I mean,
That's what I mean.
It's nice to see him, although he really does get uglier and uglier. I mean, he's
turning into Kerry Packer. That's what he looks like. He just seems to get fatter and uglier. Like
But you did wonder, actually, this is quite funny and it's quite cool to see. And we like Quentin, but really...
Yeah, I think he's just like, well, I'm going to put it in because it makes me laugh. And
And
everyone will be happy that
I'm
here.
And you can deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to see my movie anyway.
Yeah, so you can sit through my bad acting.
Yeah. But, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Inglourious Basterds before, I think, was better, but also a bit long.
Yeah.
And also had some scenes that you were like... uncomfortable to watch, but I think Inglourious Basterds had a lot of those tense scenes, which are in Django as well. Like Samuel L. Jackson, we haven't even talked about him.
Wasn't he brilliant? And wasn't he evil?
Yeah.
He played it so well.
Oh,
I mean, he's such a good actor. He's been so much crap, but he's he's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was just...
He turns up and you're like, you need like a big banner underneath him. Like, it's Samuel L. Jackson, everyone. And then he just makes you smile with his with his character. But then, like you start off going, it's Samuel L. Jackson. And...
Hello, Steven, my boy.
Yeah. Hello, my ass. Who this nigga up on that nag?
Oh, Steven, you have nails for breakfast. What's the matter? Why are you so ornery? You miss me, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. I miss you like a hog miss flop, like a baby miss mammy's titty. I miss you like I misses a rock in my shoe. Now, I ask you, who this nigga on that nag?
Hey, Snowball. You want to know my name or the name of my horse? You ask me.
That's who the hell you calling Snowball, horse boy? I'll snatch your black ass off that nag down here in the mud so fast, make your head.
Steven. Let's keep it funny. Django here is a Freeman.
This nigga here?
That nigga there. Let me at least introduce the two of you. Django, this is another cheeky black bugger like yourself, Steven. Steven, this here's Django. You two ought to hate each other.
Calvin, just who the hell is this nigga you feels the need to entertain?
Django and his friend in gray here, Dr. Schultz, are customers. And they are our guests, Steven. And you old decrepit bastard, ought to show them every hospitality. You understand that?
Yes, sir. Him, I understand. But I don't know why I got to take lip off this nigga.
You don't have to know why. Do you understand?
Yes, sir. I understand.
Well, good.
Just that, the power that man had, he really portrayed that well.
Yeah.
You know, like he dotters around does, you know, I'm this, you know, fool, and then you see him in
can't
the library,
well,
you know, not shaking, glass of brandy, just, and you think, oh.
He's like, he knows her.
Yeah.
Like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah. And he's worked it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I thought they were brilliant. I thought the cast was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I also really liked the fact that, you know, we loved the dentist. He was, but he wasn't very nice. He went around shooting everybody.
There's so many times where you're like, oh my God.
Like, I've really sided with this man. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's not, so the kind of anti-hero.
But most of his movies, I mean, you look at Pulp Fiction, like, who's the hero in Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
They're all people that kill people. They're like, oh, they're funny. They talk about
He's
hamburgers. They're cool. I could chat with them.
Yeah.
He's
good at it. It's good. He does it well. Yeah. It was a great film.
Yeah. Okay, well, the fifth one we're looking at is a movie I haven't seen. Mm-hmm. The other Berlin Girl.
Yeah.
So we're coming back to that period piece, aren't we?
Yeah. And I'm not sure why I chose this. I think I chose it because I think I was a little bit surprised by this film. I had it on a knockoff CD when I lived in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Or DVD.
So you lived in Malaysia for how long?
4 years, nearly.
Is that where you met Pete?
No, I met Pete in Indonesia.
Okay.
So we met in Indonesia and then we lived there for a year, and then we went to Eastern Europe for a couple of years, and then back to Malaysia for 4.
Whereabouts in Eastern Europe? I don't think I know.
I was in a town called Radom in Poland, so that's about an hour south of Warsaw.
Okay.
So we were there for a year.
Doing what?
Teaching.
So in all those places?
Yeah, teaching in all of those places.
Malaysia.
Yeah. So we lived in a really weird place, a really industrial, well, it had been really industrial. It really fallen on its luck. It used to be the place where they used to make all the Kalashnikovs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when it was in Soviet days, and then the Kalashnikov market had obviously the bomb would fell out of it. Although I'm sure they're still going, but for Poland anyway.
Yeah.
So it had real high unemployment. And
it's interesting, like that was keeping the town going.
Mm. And also, I think they had a bit of a union rebellion against the Polish authority under communism.
Oh, okay.
So they crushed them.
Yeah.
And they took a lot of the industry out. Yeah, anyway, I wouldn't say it was an amazingly nice town, but it was a good year. It was good.
Yeah.
And then we thought we'd stay, we'd go further east. So we went to Kiev a year in Ukraine.
Wow.
Mm.
That's so cool. I've never heard that before. And you just taught there as well?
Yeah.
Pick up the local language?
Oh, all? Not much. It's not amazing much. What you don't have to pick up when you speak English at work all day. And
yeah, it's the same, yeah.
But we did. We spoke, in Poland, yeah, and in Ukraine, we would have spoken enough to order things in shops, get on a bus.
Yeah. But you probably don't even have to do that, right? Because I remember when we lived in Japan, being there 6 months, maybe, probably even less, and going out with my boss, who had been there 5 years, and ordering something, and he was like, what does that mean? And he had just never... His goal was to go over there and save money. He, like, saved every penny. He never spent it. He never went out. He never took lessons. He never engaged in the culture at all, it seemed, which is odd. But that was, like, the one thing. Okay, in this job, you don't... The same deal of teaching English, you do not need to learn Japanese at all, which is horrible, really.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think I would say I was probably a little bit lazy. I think when you teach all day and everyone you work with speaks, and so you make friends with locals, but they all speak really good English. I think it's very easy not to speak very much. And we were learning Russian. We did have lessons.
Yeah.
And Russian is you're not going anywhere very fast, basically, with Russian. If you want to speak it properly with the cases and stuff. But yeah, we spoke a little bit, but I have to say, we probably made the best local friends in Poland and Ukraine.
Yeah.
Just, I think, just cultures being more similar and meeting people in places like pubs and having a drink and, you know.
It tends to work that way, doesn't
it? It does. I think where there's that common ground, it's a lot easier. Yeah. It was good fun.
Well, we always found, too, in Japan, like, the people we made friends with were the people who had been, who'd studied in America or studied overseas.
Yeah.
Which... I mean, obviously makes sense because it's like less cultural differences.
Yeah.
Or the people who were just, I think, considered a little strange in Japan, a bit very forward.
Yeah.
And that's not very common.
Right, in Japan, yeah, okay. Yeah.
That obviously helps as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to the movie. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the other Berlin girl, I love the byline. I can't remember what the byline was. Something like, you can have it all. You can have everything you've ever wanted, and all you have to do is betray your sister. Yeah. Thought, what a great! That's a great.
Yeah, that's all. We'd all do it. I've already done it. No, I haven't.
You certainly have it all.
Yeah, yeah. Look at me, living in Canberra, living it up. It was weird. It was someone left Malaysia, and they had a big wad of DVDs, and they gave it to me, and I had this one, and I remember the cover, and I'm just thinking, oh, it looks like a romance.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. The cover, you know, Scarlett Johansson, Natalie Portman, who both of whom I like.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I don't want to watch that. It just put me off for ages. And then one night Pete was out, and I didn't have nothing to watch, and I thought, oh, you know what? Sod it, I'll just put it on. So I put it on, and actually it really surprised me. I hadn't banked on it. I should have kind of maybe thought that this would be the case more, that it really wasn't romantic, and it was actually really pretty horrible, you know. And I quite liked that change.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. Well, that's why it's on the list, because you had such low expectations.
Mm.
You know, that's always good when you go, oh,
yeah,
I don't want to watch this.
Then, surprise me. And I liked it because I liked the whole... King Henry VIII is another character I like.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because I think he's a great role model, just because he's so fascinating. Yeah. I mean, just...
This is when he's quite young, right? This is very... Not very early on. I can't remember which wife she was.
I don't know. No, I'm going to show my ignorance again. No, but it would have been earlier.
But you know, you always see Henry VIII portrayed a big fat man with a big beard, but you never see the early side or the youngest days of him.
And it's always said that he was very handsome and tall. You know, he was a really big man for those days. And I think Eric Banner does that well. You know, he's a handsome King Henry.
Another Australian king.
What is going on? You lot, Jesus.
How about you cast some movies with some your own people in it?
Who we have? Yeah. I thought he was good. And
Colin Firth in it. Everyone would be happy with that.
Oh, God. Coming out with a... What was it? Have you seen that new statue in London that's gone up?
No.
It's of Colin Firth in...
Oh, the Pride and Prejudice coming out of
the water. And everyone's like, it's rubbish.
Is it really?
Well, people don't particularly like it. It's a big Colin Firth. It's like torso up to the ceiling, wading out the water.
But it's like the William Wallace statue. I don't even know what in Scotland.
Mm.
I don't know if you've been up to Scotland and seen the William Wallace statue, like meant to be this imposing figure. He looks like Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
But like Mel Gibson, who's maybe has a little bit of Down syndrome.
Oh, really?
Like that's what it, someone described that to me, and I was like, wow. Well, that's a bit cruel. But then I saw it, and I was like,
right.
Well, who commissioned this and agreed? And they had, they've actually had to put like a cage around it because people just rip it down.
Oh,
or,
God, really?
Or just because it's ridiculous. That. This is William Wallace's hero, and they made a statue of Mel Gibson from Braveheart.
Right.
So, and it's like small, and it just was one of the more horrible things I've seen. But really, they've done a Colin Firth coming out of the water.
Yeah. Him coming out with his blouse on and. They had people swimming up to it in the serpentine and stuff.
When I started teaching, mm-hmm. I remember year 12 class of mostly all girls and their female teacher watching that scene and rewinding it and watching it again and rewinding it and watching it again in one class.
Oh,
and I was
dear.
Like, this is very making me feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The roles were reversing. Like, yeah, all right, yeah, boys, absolutely. Let's watch this scene again. She's bending over the car. Look.
Basic instinct.
Look, I'll pause. Yeah, exactly. Look, if we pause it here. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked. Anyway, back to the movie. Back to the. So it surprised you with just.
Not violent. Just. Yeah, I should have known. That was King Henry. He wasn't very nice to his wives. That's. And really, in the storyline, it wasn't a surprise. But I thought it was a good film. I thought it was well acted. I like Natalie Portman. I like. Scarlett, and I like Eric Banner. I think he's really good as well.
So
it was just pretty horrible, you know, kind of sitting there going, oh god, I mean, I'm gonna watch some rubbish romantic piece. And then it was like, oh no, it's not actually. Yeah, of course he's really horrible.
Yeah,
he's been really horrible to her. And I don't think that it's necessarily true. I don't know if there's any truth to it historically. But that was quite another interesting layer to the whole King Henry and his wives story, and the idea that kind of Anne Boleyn kind of stole him off her sister. But I guess the thing that's quite interesting is the families and what, you know, if you're a woman or a man, I guess as well, your importance is to marry someone who's important.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The idea that this family were just putting both their daughters up against each other.
Anne, have you considered what I asked? Is there hope?
How could I ever trust you? When I've seen how you betrayed first your wife, now my sister.
A son.
A son.
Very well, my lord. You may have hope.
Yeah, it didn't work out the best.
Not really,
it?
No. No, it didn't.
Well.
So, yeah, it wouldn't be like my all-time classic favourite film, but yeah. I think in terms of films that had an impact, that probably did have quite an impact.
Yeah, lovely. Mm-hmm. And we're on to the last film,
mm-hmm.
which is Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Which is probably in my top two,
yeah.
I'd say,
yeah.
Movies of all time. So that was a surprise. I was like, oh, Elizabeth, the other Boleyn girl, Woman in Black, and Goodfellas.
Yeah. Goodfellas was my favourite film for years.
Yeah.
I think I probably watched it quite... When did it come out?
1990.
So I would have been 13. Yeah, I probably watched it about 15.
Yeah.
And just loved it. as soon as I watched it, I loved it. I remember it was on Channel 4 at home.
Yeah.
And they were doing Channel 4's... I think it could have even been a De Niro series. So every Sunday there was a really good De Niro film.
Nice.
And they put it up and kind of rated it as the best gangster film. One of the best, probably The Godfather would have been first. But
yeah.
And just how good De Niro was in it. And I remember thinking, I've got to watch this. And just... Yeah,
it's from the start, isn't it? From the very first minute, the energy just runs through it. It's a movie, like you said, about Elizabeth. Like,
mm-hmm.
I could happily finish this interview and put Goodfellas
on. Yeah.
Watch it, or watch just, you know, 20 minutes of it, or watch however many, watch a few scenes that I like. It's just one of those movies, isn't it?
Yeah. And everything about it's brilliant. The storyline's brilliant. The casting's brilliant. The music, I love the soundtrack and the way it moves through the time and the costumes and there's nothing about it that I don't like.
Yeah.
And I've seen it so many times, you know. I like the violence in it, although it's pretty hard-hitting violence. I like the way that it's just kind of in about four or five patches and it's not throughout the whole film that...
No.
You're not bombarded by this horrible violence all the time.
And it tends to get progressively worse as it goes along.
Mm.
More brutal.
Yeah.
Less, I was going to say fun, but I guess that's what it is, right? Like,
yeah.
Their lives get less and less fun as the movie continues.
And they start killing each other, don't they?
Yeah.
It's kind of different when it's that bloke who's being horrible to his girlfriend. You kind of think, although... You know, pistol whipping someone is a little bit over the top. You kind of think, well, he probably was a bit of a dickhead. He could have,
but
been told off, maybe.
Yeah,
you know.
And that is the scene where stop!
Please stop! He's
and it's over.
You've killed him.
There's
now.
No cutting. There's no like crazy angles where he just goes
and
up.
The noise, ding,
just,
ding.
Yeah, just whacks him, and then his friends are like, "Whoa!"
Yeah,
no. No. And then he walks back.
And that.
And she says, oh, you know, I should have been scared, but...
I've got to admit, I was kind of turned on. yeah. Like, and you think, that's really getting to the crux of the matter. That's a lot of it, isn't it? These men are kind of revered in status, but also in strength and power as well.
Because they just take what they want.
Yeah.
They just do what they want, and they don't care.
And I don't find that sexy, but there would be a lot of women who would.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, which is...
But it's great how, again, like, it sets it up, especially with Ray Liotta being so young, and she falls in love with him, but then she sees everyone else's girlfriends, and she's like, they're all dressed horribly, and they look beat up, and she sees that immediately, and then that's how she progresses, but they're all in horribly... But I've seen women like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen... where I used to live in Newcastle, I mean, it's small potatoes kind of thing, but I've seen those women walking down the street, like straight out of Goodfellas.
Yeah.
You're like,
and you can spot them.
The glasses, the fur-lined clothes, the horrible perfume, the big hair.
It's a great look.
Oh, it is great. One day, maybe, one day.
Yeah, one day we'll spy. Yeah, it's I like the... The progression of all the characters, you know, like her, she fell in love with him and he's such a great guy and, you know, he's not.
Yeah.
But she puts up with it and she loves the, you know, that scene when they're really in the 80s and everything's rocks and black and red. And she's showing, who is it? What's his name? The bloke who does the wigs.
Oh, is that Colbert Corp? No, that's Breaking Bad.
I can't remember.
I don't know. But Maury,
that's it, and his wife. Is it Val?
Yeah.
Oh, Val. It's all from, you know, it's custom made silk. The other ones you just couldn't sit in. And you're like, you want this. You're as much of a part of the deal as he is, you know.
It's got to have marble. There's got to be some marble everywhere in your house.
Yeah.
But just the fact that you have your wife and then you keep your girlfriend, and that's acceptable.
Yeah, that's okay. As long as you don't disrespect the wife, but they don't have to meet, or, you know.
Or she comes to your house and goes...
Calls you a whore.
Calls you. I want everyone to know that Karen Ross is a whore. Oh, not Karen Ross.
Janice Rossi.
Janice Rossi is a whore.
She's a whore.
She's a whore in your building. Yeah, great. Right. Yeah, it's yeah, Joe Pesci is great in that movie. But the casting is so good.
From, yeah.
Even from Maury with the wigs.
Mm. It's brilliant. Yeah, Joe Pesci is just terrifying, isn't he? I mean, he's just terrifying, the thought that you might have to meet somebody who's that unhinged that you don't know whether you've said something to offend him or, you know, that whole thing. What am I so funny? You know, you can kind of almost imagine it. Not in that setting, but easily. That character. No, he's brilliant.
But I've been out in pubs or somewhere where people have had, where the conversation turns all of a sudden when they're like, they've misheard something or they're everyone's laughing and then they're like, you know, what are you talking about? And the whole situation, the arse drops out of it and everyone just feels horrible.
Yeah.
And it becomes really awkward.
Yeah.
But usually that's for real. But yeah, that's, all the way through it, he's like that, I guess.
And just his kind of, you know, insecurities, the whole Billy Bats thing, you know.
Good to be home. Welcome back.
My friend Jimmy.
Oh.
Henry, it's his joint.
Nice to meet you.
This is Lisa.
Hi.
Hey, Frankie, how are you?
Hey, Tommy, all dressed up. All grown up and doing the town. Look at this.
Oh, shit.
Tommy.
I forgot you were having a party this month.
Oh, come here.
Christ, let me go say hello. Hey, Billy, how are you?
Tommy, get over here. I haven't seen you in six
Billy.
Fucking years.
How you doing, Billy?
Jesus Christ almighty. You look terrific.
Watch this suit,
you little prick. Yeah. Hey, I know you all my life.
All right, good.
People getting too big on me
just
now.
Just don't go busting my balls, Billy, okay?
Hey, Tommy, if I was going to break your balls, I'd tell you to go home and get your shine box. Oh, this kid was great. I used to call him Spit Shine Tommy. I swear to God, he'd make your shoes look like fucking mirrors. Excuse my language. He was terrific. He was the best. He made a lot of money, too. Salud, Tommy.
No more shines, Billy.
What?
I said no more shines. Maybe you didn't hear about it. You've been away a long time. They didn't go up, didn't they? I don't shine shoes anymore.
Relax, will you, for crying out? What's got into you? I'm breaking your balls a little bit, that's all. I'm only kidding with you.
Sometimes you don't sound like you're kidding. You know, there's a lot of people around.
I mean, I'm only kidding with you. We're having a party. I mean, I just came home. I haven't seen you in a long time, and I'm breaking your balls, and you're right away, you're getting fucking fresh. I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you.
I'm sorry, too. It's okay. No problem.
Okay, salud. Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Motherfucking mutt! You fucking piece of shit!
Yeah. Come on! Let him go!
Henry, bought his fucking button at the fake old tough guy. You bought your fucking button, you fake tough guy! You motherfucker!
Come on!
Fuck, keep that motherfucker here! Keep him here! Come on!
Fast! Come on, you fucking feel strong!
I'm sorry, Tommy gets a little loaded. He doesn't mean any disrespect.
You don't mean any disrespect, Henry. Are you nuts? Teach this kid a little fucking manners. Hey, Jimmy, what's right is right. You understand what I'm talking about?
It's all right.
No, I mean, the kid's over here. I was hugging and kissing over here, and 2 minutes later, he's acting like a fucking jerk.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
No, I didn't insult him
a little bit.
No, I didn't insult nobody. Give us a drink.
And that last great scene where Ray Liotta's just coked out, where Henry Hill's just coked out of his mind. He's looking for the helicopter.
Yeah.
Just the way that's shot and the music to that is just amazing.
And I was going to bring that scene up because I think that's one of the only scenes I've seen in films where he actually looked like he was on drugs.
Yeah.
You know, like the portrayal of drugs, really, often it's nothing.
No.
Like taking drugs or...
People rub their eyes a bit.
Whereas he looked coked out.
Yeah, coked out and just... Pale,
and the behaviour and that spiralling of just paranoia, and they're both kind of...
Just the fact that he's got to do all... Like, the other thing, which is amazing, is he's got, like, so many things to do, and it just adds to it. Like, I've got to do this, and then I'm going to take this over there and drop this off here, and it just gets out of control
for him. It's quite tense, isn't it, that whole thing. And then the doctor gives him is nice to him and gives him a Valium.
Takes his brother to the hospital, and the doctor's like, no, you want to admit me now?
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
And it just ends up a big mess, doesn't it? It just ends up a total... You always knew they were horrible people for what they did, but there was some solace in the fact that they were friends.
Yeah.
But then you realise that they would do absolutely anything for money, and the paranoia of somebody else getting something over you, they'd kill you, you know?
Yeah.
And you realise that at the end, and that... is when it gets really sour for mine, you know.
Like, yeah, well, that's... where Jimmy says to him, yeah, you've got to go down to Miami and do this job for me. And he's like, yeah, I'm not coming back.
Yeah.
And then Karen, that's a great scene, which isn't really talked about that much, where De Niro's trying to get her, just come back, I've got something to show you, I've got these coats, come just down that, down that alleyway, just down that alleyway there, which one, that one there, just go down, you'll be fine, you'll know. And she just goes, I gotta go. Yeah.
And you never know if that's really true. Exactly. Is it really? I didn't know if he really was gonna kill her, but that,
yeah, that's the,
it
the
adds whole... to the tension, like you know it's quite possible that he was,
That's the whole point. You get to that stage where you're like, well, because Jimmy's killed everyone else as well. I mean, that's an amazing scene where he's at the bar, and I think is it Sunshine of Your Love, the Eric Clapton song comes on.
Yeah, that's it, which is a great joke.
And all he does is smoke a cigarette, and you're like, oh, he's going to kill them all. And you know exactly what he's thinking, and it's just all in his face. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm going out on a limb, but De Niro is quite a good actor.
In that, yeah, I reckon.
Just in that one, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's just... That scene, I just remember, just the dread. Like you said, it all becomes this feeling of dread.
And
it sucks you into this glamorous world, and then it just... The reality
it's
just...
It's rotten. Yeah. It's just totally rotten, all of it.
Yeah. And you're like, is this what you want?
Yeah.
And the other good thing is, too, that... It sets up, or they think of themselves as all these smart guys and wise guys who are just like the pinnacle of their jobs, but they're really small-time hoodlums, really. They're stealing coats. What they take is... they've just got a small piece of the action, really.
Yeah, they're opportunists, aren't they? And, the idea that they would steal some fur coats or... Yeah. They'd not pay their bill in a restaurant, or they'd just do whatever, whether it was for $5 or for...
Exactly, that's what it is.
50,000, you know.
Taking cigarettes and just selling them under the price, that's all they're doing.
Yeah.
No matter what. But when they go to jail and they just got the best food...
Looks all right, doesn't it?
it does for
jail.
They've all got a massive kitchen and they're just like, cool, here's your dinner. And
I love that about the Italian portrayal anyway, but I hope that it's true. I love the fact that there's these men who are, you know, like, for the most part would have their wives at home doing everything, but like, they can really cook.
Yeah, they
these
love
boys,
the cooking,
you know,
yeah.
Like, know all their wines and what's going with it.
Yeah, they're in jail trying to work out what wine to have for their meal,
and slicing garlic with a razor so it liquefies in the pan and...
Just the fact that's in the movie is great.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to slice it so thin that it liquefies in the pan. It's good on the details. The script's amazing, but the little details just draw you into it as well. So you do find yourself smiling that first half of the movie. Mm. Like, oh, this is not bad.
Yeah, I certainly don't think about it. I mean, although it is an ultra-violent, you know, pretty hardcore... film, I never think, oh, am I in the mood for that? Like, I'm always in the mood for it, you know?
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
It reminds me of good times. It was a good... Yeah, I used to go out clubbing and put that on when I came home.
Oh, really?
I couldn't sleep, yeah.
Nice. That is a good movie to watch on your way home.
Good times.
Yeah, it is good times. All right, well, thanks for having the chat.
No worries.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And that's it.